smile again with radio's home folks, Vacant Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Goode. Vic is established in his easy chair with a newspaper, while Sade, who occupies the corner of the Davenport, reads a book. And our silence of some duration is broken.
Oh, ish.
What's the matter?
This trashy novel of Russell.
Third Lieutenant Stanley?
Yeah.
Third Lieutenant Stanley's a baboon.
It's Lady Margaret that makes me tired.
What's she up to?
Oh, always blushing and waltzing around and hiding her face behind her fan and glancing coquettishly down at her fashionable French spats and... Well, here. She never heard such junk. The beautiful woman Pinkin. She stooped over quickly and pretended to adjust her fashionable French spats. She didn't want the handsome young officer to see her shining eyes and quivering lips. Give me 8 kisses, sweetheart, breathed Sir Lieutenant Stanley, and his manly chest, like some great oaken barrel, expanded and contracted, while his huge square teeth, the color of expensive old ivory, caught the sunlight and shone like beaten gold.
Hi, there.
Hi.
Oh, do you ever hear such silliness? Feeble-minded they sound. Sir Lieutenant Stanley and Lady Margaret both.
Mr. Kinbunny telephone.
Who?
Mr. Kinbunny.
Nobody telephone.
Mr. Kinbunny won't telephone pretty soon.
What for?
He's anxious to get in touch with Doug.
Why?
He's going to ask you to teach him how to smoke cigars.
Oh, go on. Say, this afternoon...
I'm not fooling.
Ish, Russell, person's trying to say something.
But this is the truth.
Yeah?
The absolute fact. I'll bet $9 the telephone rings within the next 10 minutes.
Smoke cigars?
Yep. I just got all the information from Heidi Call. Mr. Chinbunny is attending a meeting of Illinois high school principals in Chicago this coming Saturday, and he wants to be able to whip out big black cigars and puff away on them like an old-timer.
What's the idea?
Same old idea he's always working on. He's desirous of having people think he's older than he is.
Oh.
He figures cigar smoking will give him a more mature appearance.
Oh, sure.
Well, sure. You understand Mr. Chinbunny's position, don't you? He's very, very young to be a principal of a big high school. And it's got him worried. He's scared the Board of Education will throw him out on his ear and hire an older fella. That's why he wears spectacles he don't need and shaves the top of his head to have a bald spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he walks so stiff and straight and keeps that stern expression on his face. He wants to look old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
And I'm scheduled to bolster up his maturity by initiating him into this cigar-smoking habit, huh?
Exactly. You see, he's attending this meeting in Chicago next Saturday. He'll meet a lot of other high school principals, and they'll also meet important big shots. He's anxious to impress these important big shots. You don't want to be considered any young kid. His idea is to whip out big black cigars and smoke away like a steam engine and show everybody he's knocked around the world plenty and understands what's what.
I didn't think teachers smoked.
Well, they don't smoke around the school building in public, but what they do at home is their own business.
Oh.
See plenty of them smoking in Chicago next Saturday.
Mm.
Well, Mr. Chinbunny's never smoked in his life, but he got this idea. So the thing to do is to find somebody to teach him to smoke. He consulted Frieda. Frieda suggested you, Gus.
I don't know as I'm flattered particularly. Being recommended as a good guy to teach people to smoke puts me in the light of a guy that's a slave to nicotine.
No.
You say Chinbunny's going to phone me this evening?
I'm surprised he hadn't already done it.
Yeah.
He's crowded for time, see? He's only got 3 days to contract the cigar-smoking habit. He wouldn't want to go up there to Chicago and botch the job. He wouldn't want to give himself away by handing his cigar awkward.
Or getting sick.
Yeah, or getting sick.
I'm just wondering how I go about teaching a man to smoke.
Well, there's nothing to it, is there? All a person has to do is puff.
It's the refinements Mr. Chinbunny's after.
Refinements?
You know, the technique.
Yeah.
See, for instance, he's sitting in the hotel lobby next Saturday, maybe having a chat with the president of the Board of Education from Moline or someplace. All right, pretty soon, very easy and casual, he says, "Beg pardon, Mr. So-and-so, but do you mind if I light up a cigar?" "Not at all," says Mr. So-and-so, glancing up in admiration. Mr. Chinbunny reaches in his pocket and produces a big black rope as long as your arm. He scratches a match and draws in a couple of bushels of smoke and blows it out like a furnace. Ah, that's better, he says, leaning back in his chair. Mr. So-and-so watches him with approval. By George, that boy's been around, he says.
Chinbunny didn't paint you that picture, did he?
No, just some thoughts of my own.
Wondered.
I think mainly what he'll do, Gov, is just sit around and watch you smoke cigars while he studies your various movements. He appreciates you're a cigar smoker from way back, and he'll attempt to memorize every motion you make and then imitate you.
Is he going to furnish the cigars?
Yes, he is.
Looks like Mr. Chinbunny and myself will have a gay time.
You better take it easy the first 19 or 20 cigars, hadn't he?
Yes.
Otherwise, he'd run the risk of getting sick.
He's in for a few uneasy moments, whatever he does, I think.
He's never smoked in his life, you say, Willie?
Not once. And after this meeting on Saturday is over, he plans to give up the habit. Can't get a very strong grip on him just in 3 days, can it?
I don't imagine so. However, there's always a chance that he'll take to tobacco like a duck takes to water. Won't I feel fine, though, if after I've taught him to smoke, he becomes such a devotee of Lady Nicotine that he leaves his family and quits his job, and I'm to blame for
telephone
the whole
thing.
There you are, Goss. It's your Chinbunny.
Okay.
Maybe you hadn't better mention I tipped you off of this.
Okay.
Act like it's a complete surprise.
Okay. Hello? Oh, hello there. Why, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, Dr. Sleech. Just a second. There's some woman on the telephone that claims her name is Stembudger.
500?
Yes.
Sure, invite him over.
I'm sorry, Ruthie, but Sadie says you and your big ox of a husband make her sick to her stomach. Okay, tell him I can whip him with one hand tied behind his back. Yes. No, come on over, Ruthie. Not a thing. Just sitting here with our teeth in our mouth. Okay, fine. Fine. Fine, Ruthie. We'll be looking for you. You bet. Bye-bye.
How soon?
15-20 minutes.
I'd change my shirt.
Oh.
Well, put on shoes, anyway.
Gov, with Ted and Ruthie coming over, how...
Where you get that Ted and Ruthie stuff?
With Mr. and Miss Stembottom coming over, how are you going to teach Mr. Chinbunny to smoke cigars?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Hope you telephone him directly.
Well, heck, you said all he wanted to do was to watch me. He can sit in the Davenport and watch me smoke cigars till he's blue in the face.
Till you're blue in the face.
Yeah.
He's nothing but an overgrown kid, that Chinbunny.
He's scared of his job, Mom. He's afraid the Board of Education will fire him for being too young. He's always on the lookout for Anglesey. Anglesey can follow up and give the human race the impression he's a lot older than he is. And by George, seemed to me this cigar-smoking stunt is a pretty doggone smart angle.
Maybe I'll establish a cigar-smoking college, set up a regular curriculum, and take in students at $40 a semester. Now, let's see. The first lesson will read, insert cigar between thumb and forefinger. Open mouth and convey cigar...
Telephone ring.
There you are, Goss. Mr. Chinbunny.
It wasn't Mr. Chinbunny last time. You answered.
Okay.
Might be Rosie calling to say Ted's changing the laces in his shoes.
Ted is eternally changing the laces in his shoes.
He does seem to do it oftener than other people.
Hello? Yes, it's him. Why, yes, Mr. Chinbunny, I believe he is. Hold the wire a second, please. Okay, Goss.
This is really on the level, huh?
Why, he sure it was on the level.
Sounded like a figment of somebody's imagination.
Oh, here, he's waiting.
Well, shall I tell him he can come over, kiddo?
I don't care.
Hello? Oh, yes. Just fine, thanks. And yourself? Why, yes, I do plan to be in all evening. Yes. Well, certainly. Of course. Well, I'll be expecting you then, Mr. Chinbunny. Fine. All right, Mr. Chinbunny. Goodbye.
What'd he say?
Asked if I planned to be in all evening, then wanted to know if he could drop by and see me on a certain matter.
He's desirous of cultivating the cigar-smoking habit.
Oh, such silliness.
No, by George. Instead of such silliness, it's the case of such smartness. Why, look. Say, for instance, Mr. Chinbunny's up there in Chicago chewing the rag with Mr. So-and-so, the president of East St. Louis Board of Education.
Mind if I torch up Mr. So-and-so? Not at all. And then Mr. Chinbunny whips out a stogie as long as a baseball bat. He takes a half a dozen great noisy drags and wheezes forth dense clouds of black smoke. I feel better now, he sighs. Mr. So-and-so from East St. Louis watches him with large round eyes. Finally, he says in deep admiration, "You're a sport, Chinbunny. You're a real sport."
Another brief interlude at the small house.